Thank you for Josiah's willingness and his stepping up, Lord, and doing what you're called him to do in his life. Be with him now as he leads us in this message from you, and watch over him and help him be strong, Lord, as he delivers it. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. I'm excited today because I get to share with you what's been on my heart for quite a few months now. First, before I get started, I want to thank Tom, Pastor Ken, and Ron Keene for giving me the opportunity to speak. There's been a couple other times they asked me to preach, and I've given them excuses, and I'm not ready, you know. What I have to ask myself is, when is the right time? You know, when I was asked on the 4th to preach, and I said yes, there was such an overwhelming weight that was on my chest. That God's like, Josiah, this is the time that I want to use you to speak. That I have things that I want to tell, that I want you to tell these people. Are you going to do it? So we're going to be turning to Matthew 28:19. That's going to get us started into the whole thing. And while you guys are turning, I want to ask you a question. A couple questions, actually. And these are questions that I've asked myself that it's actually I felt convicted. Okay? First thing is, we go to church every Sunday, but is that it? Is how much Jesus do you get? How much Jesus do you want? I'm going to hold that and ask you guys another question. Is how much Jesus do you give in your life? Is how much Jesus do you share with other people? How much Jesus do you want to give? Matthew 28:19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Today, I'm going to be talking about how to be an effective witness for Christ and how our daily lifestyle as Christians should be witnessing, but how it seems to be a very hard thing to do sometimes. That when God gives us things to say, we tend not to do it because of fear, and we want to stay comfortable. I want to share a story with you guys about a man named Dr. Hudson Taylor. I don't know if many of you guys are familiar with him, but he was one of the greatest missionaries who ever lived. This man was a doctor. He started out in England, and then he took his ministry to China. A daily lifestyle for Dr. Taylor was, he'd go to people's houses and he would attend their wounds and he would give them medicine and make sure they were clean. And then after that, he would leave with this, as he would say, "Let me just share a little bit about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that he came to die for you, that he wants a relationship with you." So that was a day-to-day thing for Dr. Taylor, until one day was different than others. He came to this man's house, a man that was a very wicked man, okay? This man didn't want no time for God. So he went to this house and did his normal thing. He would attend the wounds and he would make sure they were clean and give them the medicine they needed. Once he was done with that, he's like, "Let me just share a little bit about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That he died for you, that he wants a relationship with you." That man turned his face to Dr. Taylor. "You know, I don't want any part of that." So this is a day-to-day thing that Dr. Taylor would come and he would attend this man's wounds and make sure he was, you know, healthy. And then he would leave with, "Let me share a little bit about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." The man would turn his face. It got to a point where Dr. Taylor started to get discouraged. You know, like, what's the point of me doing this? that the words that I'm telling this man seem to be useless and not effective. So with that mindset, he walked into this house to this man, and he took care of him. He gave him the medicine he needed. He made sure that his wounds were taken care of. Made sure he was clean. Then he packed up his stuff and walked to the door without saying a word to the man. At that moment, before he opened the door, the man turned and said, "Aren't you going to say something to me?" At that moment, Dr. Taylor turned with tears in his eyes and he ran to the man, saying that Jesus died for you, that he wants a relationship with you. Guys, we have to understand as Christians, our words are very powerful things. That when it seems that our words are useless and not effective, when we get to the point where we ask ourselves, why do I even try? I've been talking to this person for months and there's no change. First thing is, our words change people. God's does. And second thing is, God can change that person whenever he wants to. But we get so tied up with the fact that we want to see change right now that we get discouraged. But really, we have to be on God's watch, not our own. That even the words that we say, when they seem like they're useless, God can actually be using them to impact people's lives. I want to share another story with you in the Bible. And it's one of my favorites. It's in Luke 15. It's talking about the parable of lost sheep. I picture Jesus going into the city, and he starts telling the story about the parable, and people are gathering around him, tons of people. So we see that scene happening there, and we look over here, and we see these men called Pharisees. Okay, these are doers of the law. Very intelligent men. No scripture. They meditate. But see, they didn't want any part of those people that were surrounding Jesus, the sinners. Like, no, I don't want any of that. And they actually said, like, this man surrounds himself with tax collectors and sinners, and he eats dinner with them. Jesus surrounded himself with those people because those are the people that were lost, that those are the people that needed to be reached to. So we have to look at our lives, guys. We have to see, are we the people that have the knowledge that we study God's word, that we meditate, that we pray, when it comes to actually going out, you know, we don't want any part of that. That's crazy that I work at a ministry and I have conversations with people all the time, but it tends to, when I want to talk about God, it seems to be the hardest thing to do. That are we going to be like those people? Are we going to be like Christ, the one who surrounded himself with those people? Because those people deserve to know who God is, just like you do. And those people deserve to have a relationship with God, just like you do. Some Christians say, well, I do talk about God to other people, like in the church and at Bible studies and youth group, and that's good. Some Christians need that encouragement. Don't get me wrong. They do. But God's saying, it's good for those ears, but there's ears out there that have not heard, that I'm using you to go speak. But when the world's telling us to be quiet, Christ is saying, keep speaking. That I'm preparing you to go. But it comes down to a choice if are you ready to go. Because so many times God says go, but we say that we have this right here that's giving us all the words to say. That we have some call our testimony that we can share of what God did to bring us out of our past. That we can use our testimony to speak to people that are dealing with the same thing as we did. Is this is what I was struggling with. This is what I did to change. As I made the best decision of my life to follow Jesus. Are we going to speak when we need to? Because those ears out there who don't even know who God is, it comes down to a life and death. situation, that if we're not telling these people who God is, I've never heard, they're going to hell. I don't want to see people going to hell. That God is telling me to go out and speak to these people for a reason, I'm going to go out. That we plant the seeds in these people's lives. We plant, and then God grows. That we have the seeds that we need to plant, but are we willing to go out? So first thing is our words and how we can use those to witness to people. The second point, I honestly think this is the most important point out of all these, is our walk. Is my walk with God lining up with the words that I say? I have a tongue twister for you guys. I'm not going to say it. I fully didn't get down, so I'm not going to say it fast because we might be here longer than 10:30. It says, your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Is your walk with God talking louder than your talk? It's very easy for me to come up here and talk to you guys saying, let's go be witnesses, let's go do these great things, we need to be doing it, but if my walk is not lining up with what I say, then that's not right. So I'm asking you, like, our daily life, how are we acting? How are the decisions we make, are they pleasing to God's eyes? Luke 6:40 says, can a blind man lead another blind man? Will they both not fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who's fully trained will be like his teacher. I want to share a verse with you in Hebrews 13:7. You can turn to me. You can turn there if you want to. It says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. I'm very thankful for the godly men that I have in my life. For Pastor Ken, for Tom, for Ron, and my dad. Then when I look at them, I say, those are men that walk with God. There's footsteps that Christ left that they are walking in, and that the footsteps that they leave lead to Christ. And how I got to look at my life, and I'm like, am I following in those footsteps of God? And are the footsteps that I leave, do they lead to God? And we got to ask ourselves, are we following in Christ's footsteps? Is my walk with God speaking louder than my words? Am I a godly example outside of here that somebody can look at and be like, you're different. Something's different about you. A lot of Christians think that we need to go out and do these big things, preach, missionary trips, street ministry, and those things are good. But sometimes the small things that we do out of love can impact people the most, and God can use. Isaiah shared a story with me. He works at Mark's, and he was sharing the story with me at youth group about how there was this lady that asked him to help him, help her with groceries. And he went and helped her. And after that, she looked at him. She's like, you must be a Christian. Isaiah's like, yeah. She's like, we don't see a lot of those. The small acts of love that we do, God can use to impact people. If we're not doing the small things, then when it comes to doing the big things, we're not going to do it. Amen? Christianity now has somewhat been a title that people say the right things and they're called Christians. They say the right things, but they're not walking the lifestyle of Christ. That they talk it, but they don't walk it. Are we going to be different that if I say that I am a follower of Christ, then I'm going to act like a follower of Christ. This shouldn't just be one that I do. We have to see that people are watching us, unbelievers are watching us, and they're seeing, are we different? And a point I want to make across to you guys is, this world, sin is the normal lifestyle in this world. Sin is. Being a follower of God is a different lifestyle. And Christ said, if you love me and you want to be a follower of me, you're going to be different. And different people see. And when they detect that and they see that, are you going to speak? Are you going to spread the gospel how you should be? That once we accept Christ, there's a path that God leaves that created for us. And there's going to be people that will be coming on our path that God wants us to witness to. Are we going to do it? That if the unbelievers see my lifestyle out there, is it pleasing to God? And can they say that we're different? Because if I'm not different, but I call myself a Christian, but I'm still doing worldly things, I'm wrong. The third point that I want to get across to you guys is our worship. Are we praising God even in the worst of times? I have a story I want to share with you guys about one of my coworkers. I'm not going to mention his name, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about what happened. This man's a chaplain at the Haven of Rest. That means that he basically will lead the Bible studies for this resident program that we have. This program where guys want to get their life back together, basically. Very happy man, very godly man, very nice family. Amazing wife. His wife got cancer, really bad cancer. And I remember him coming in, telling us what's happening, giving us updates. And it would be as he would come in and say, one day, she's not eating. The next day, she's not speaking. The next day, she's losing weight. So a lot of ups and downs. And there'll be days he comes in, she's like, she's starting to speak. She's moving around. The chemo's working. So a lot of ups and downs. And I can't even imagine what he was going through at that time. Weeks went by. And we were constantly praying at the Haven for my coworker and his wife and his family. Remember, he came one day and he's like, you know, my wife's going to be off chemo. She's going home. The cancer's gone. And how excited we were. And it was such a praise. I remember him telling me that she's home. A couple of weeks went by. I remember him coming back and saying, I asked him how she's doing. She's like, not well. She got an earache in her ear, but it's a pain that she's never felt before. That's not going away. It's making her throw up. It's hurting her back. So I took her to the doctor. They couldn't find anything. And my coworker's like, how are you not finding anything? My wife is in the worst pain ever, and you can't find anything. The doctor's like, well, let's do another scan of her body and just see what's going on. They did the scan on her body, and they found cancer everywhere. In her lungs, lymph nodes, everywhere. And the doctor looked at my coworker and said, your wife has 6 months to live. I'm heartbroken. I don't even know what to think. That she was cured of cancer, but now it's back, and she only has 6 months to live. I remember seeing my coworker, and I gave him a hug. I told him I was praying for him because I really didn't have a lot of words to say to him. And he told me that this is in God's hands. That he's pulled me out of a horrible lifestyle when I was younger. And he saved me. And he saved my life. That I'm trusting God and I'm seeking God. This is out of my hands. It's in God's. A couple weeks went by. And I remember I was in this men's division meeting. We're all sitting there and we're talking about just work stuff. Coworker walks in and says, I'm going to make this very quick. My wife might not make it this weekend. With that being said, I remember so clear that how quiet my work got. It almost seemed like there was nobody there. In that meeting, we were all praying, my coworker's wife, his family. I remember going home and talking to my dad about it. And we're just praying. A couple days go by. My dad gets a phone call. Hey, we're all here at the hospital. My coworker's wife might not make it tonight. So I'm sitting there, and I remember I was out a couple buddies, and I came back home, and my dad's like, she died, 38 years old. I had no words to say. I was speechless. He's back at work now, and what I found out is that God, before she died, God gave her a day where she was completely herself, pain-free, moving around, laughing. And sometimes God does that to comfort us. That we're broken, God's like, here. He's back at work, and he's still struggling. Yes, he misses his wife. He misses eating dinner with her, misses her with her kids. But understands that she's in a better place now. And he understands that our brokenness and our wounds that we bear is only one person that can bind those back together. And that's Christ. That when we're going through suffering and trials in our life, there's only one solution, and that's Jesus Christ. That we tend to go to worldly things to try to feel better. But you know what happens? Is that we still keep hurting. And we don't know why. And the reason is why is because we're not going to God. God understands hurt. We have to remember that he sent his son down. That was beaten. That was made fun of. And that was crucified on a cross. He understands hurt. And understands our hurt. And understands that when we're hurting, he's here with arms wide open saying, are you going to come to me? Because I am your comfort. Amen. Trials of way of learning in a Christian's life. That Christ is a potter, and he's shaping us how he wants us. And when he's shaping us, there's going to be trials to help us grow. But see, if we're not seeking God how we should be, that we're not going to grow. And all of us are going to have trials that happen in our lives. But how are we handling them? Are we handling them like we should be? That my coworker had the worst of worst things happen. His wife died. We have to look at this and say, when it seems that we've lost everything, you have to remember that God is everything that we ever needed. That he was praising God even in the worst situations. His wife was dying, but he still knew that I cannot walk this life alone. That I can't try to handle the situation on my own. That I need God. And God wrapped his arms around my coworker and said, I got you in this. I got you. That even though your wife died, I still have your family in my hands. That I'm going to protect you. That I'm going to strengthen you. That I'm the only thing that you need. The third or the fourth point I'm going to talk about is our wounds. The wounds that we bear. In this life, we have people every day dying, not because of their skin color, not because they speak a different language, not because they look funny, but simply because they call themselves a Christian. And it comes down to a fact that before they die, they'll ask them, if you deny Christ, you can go see your family right now. But they don't deny Christ because Christ is the most important thing in their life that they're worth. They're going to die for him. Are you willing to die for Christ just like he died for you? That we're going to be made fun of as Christians. There was times on my baseball team when I was in high school is that they said, oh, I can't cuss around you because you're a Christian. I don't want to hurt your ears. That's stuff that we have to go through. That's punches that we get. That's not easy living a lifestyle for Christ. That we're going to get hurt. We're going to die. But standing up for Christ can be the most powerful witness out there. That I'm serious about God. We have to look at our lives, guys, and we say, are the words that I say pleasing to God's ears? Is my walk with God pleasing to his eyes? That I'm going through trials and I'm praising him even in the worst of times. That I'm willing to die for Christ just like he died for me. This is a battlefield out here, guys. It's a battlefield. But remember, in Matthew it says, go and make disciples. We're the disciples, and God's giving us the stuff to say. Are we going to do it? Like I said, those people have not heard. We have. And God's giving us the stuff to say. Are we willing to go? And how it's a very tough thing to do. Because we like to get comfortable. Like right now, doing this, I'm comfortable. And God's going to be like, okay, Josiah, get uncomfortable. And it's going to be hard. Are you willing to be uncomfortable for Christ? That's what it's about. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for today, Father. And just all that you do, Father God, and just for your love, your protection that you have for us. I pray as we do communion, Father, that just remember how important it is. You died for us, Father. You made the ultimate sacrifice. That you understand our hurt, Father, because you watched your son die. I thank you, Father, just again for your love for taking care of us. As we go out into this world that's so evil, that we're not walking this path alone, that you are behind us. That you say, I got you. That you're not walking this life alone, Father God. I thank you for just today, for this message, for this topic, and how it's such a big topic. I Christian's life. Witnessing is such a big thing. But how we sometimes we don't do it because we're scared. Father, I pray as we leave here today that we'll just see things differently, that we'll hear things differently, Father, that we'll go to you more than we ever have. I thank you again, Father, for today. I pray that your words will be our words, that your thoughts will be our thoughts, Father. Again, I just thank you for all you do. In precious holy name, amen.